Why intermittent fasting isn't working for you? It sounds simple enough: eat within a narrow window, fast for the rest, lose weight. Except there are always those for whom it doesn't. While some people may simply not be well suited to intermittent fasting, many who fail to see weight loss, or who even gain weight, may be sabotaged by biological processes at work in their bodies. Intermittent fasting isn't failing because the science is wrong. It's failing because most people don't understand the biological rules that make it work. Breaking the fast too early. Intermittent fasting involves cycling between eating and fasting periods ranging from hours to days. The power of intermittent fasting lies in what happens during those fasting hours. Your body switches from burning sugar to burning fat, a process called metabolic switching. During prolonged fasting, your liver starts running out of stored glucose and begins breaking down fat into ketones for fuel. This metabolic switch generally occurs 12 to 36 hours after the last meal, depending on your energy reserves and how much energy you burn while fasting. Matthew Bright, a postdoctoral fellow and registered dietitian at the University of Colorado Anschutz Medical Campus, cautioned against overstating how easily the metabolic switch occurs. He noted that many people attempting intermittent fasting never fully deplete liver glycogen, often because small calorie sources, such as coffee with cream, prevent ketone levels from rising. The metabolic switch occurs after 16 to 24 hours of complete fasting, he told the Epoch Times, so it's very difficult. Even when the switch does begin to turn on, it's easy to flip it back off. Eating small amounts of calories during the fasting window shifts the body back to burning glucose instead of fat. For intermittent fasting to lead to meaningful results, that switch needs to be activated consistently over time, not just occasionally. Over weeks to months, repeated cycles of metabolic switching drive longer-term cellular adaptations, including more efficient energy production, reduced inflammation, and stronger defenses against cellular damage. When fasting is frequently interrupted, those adaptations never fully develop. Even a single high-carbohydrate meal can derail progress. One study found that after a week of carbohydrate restriction, eating just two white bread rolls with jam, about 72 grams of carbohydrates, disrupted stable ketosis, and it took another 5 days to return to that fat-burning state. Skipping fasting days can impact the ability for the body to switch from using glucose to fat stores for energy, Jila Simnaniazad, a senior research scientist at the National University of Singapore, told the Epoch Times. Overeating and eating too late. One of intermittent fasting's appeals is that it's time-focused rather than calorie-focused. However, as Shuhao Lin, a registered dietitian and a postdoctoral research fellow at Mayo Clinic, told the Epoch Times, not counting calories does not mean they can eat whatever they want. Many people overlook a key detail from intermittent fasting studies. Participants typically receive guidance from dietitians, meaning they follow healthier eating habits and avoid overeating during their eating windows. Compensatory eating, loading up on food during the eating window, floods the body with glucose, preventing a calorie deficit and limiting access to fat stores. When the body is still running on glucose from the previous meal, the fasting window effectively starts later than intended. This means the body never fully initiates ketosis. You're not really fasting. You're just delaying meals. Eating later during the day can also reduce the effectiveness of a fast. Although intermittent fasting doesn't have standardized rules for ideal fasting or eating windows, research consistently shows that earlier eating is linked to more effective weight loss. Insulin sensitivity peaks in the morning and gradually declines throughout the day. When you eat dinner late or snack in the evening, your body's reduced ability to process glucose causes blood sugar spikes, triggering insulin release and promoting fat storage, which is exactly what you're trying to avoid. Protocols that concentrate food intake earlier in the day improve metabolic health. In a crossover study, when people shifted dinner from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m., their 4-hour post-meal blood sugar rose by about 18%. They also burned less fat and relied more on carbohydrates overnight than when they ate at 6 p.m. One study comparing early and late eating windows found that although both produced similar weight loss when paired with calorie restriction, the earlier window led to greater reductions in fat mass and fasting glucose. High stress and hormones. Your body's stress load can blunt the benefits of fasting, even if you're following the schedule perfectly. Chronic stress and poor sleep keep cortisol elevated, which increases hunger and cravings for high-fat, high-sugar foods, and promotes fat storage, even if you're eating less as a result of your fasting. Studies show that people with higher stress levels or disrupted sleep lose less weight in diet programs overall because their biology is pushing them to eat more and store more. One study tracked people for a year after they completed an 8-week low-calorie diet, during which they lost about 13 kilograms on average. Over the maintenance year, those who slept less than 6 hours per night regained about 5.3 kilograms, while people who slept 6 hours or more regained only 3.5 kilograms. Metabolic stress can also interfere with fasting. Bright noted that in people with obesity or type 2 diabetes, the metabolic switch may be delayed or blunted. Their physiology resists entering a fat oxidation state, which can make fasting feel harder and limit early benefits. These people may benefit from repeated fasting over weeks to gradually enter the fasting state. In one trial, men with prediabetes improved insulin sensitivity after 5 weeks of early time-restricted eating, even without weight loss, signaling better fuel handling. In another, adults with overweight or obesity followed a 16:8 pattern for 12 weeks and saw modest weight loss and small cardiometabolic improvements, consistent with gradual metabolic adaptation rather than an immediate shift. A caveat for women. For women, monthly hormonal shifts add another layer of complexity. Because no clinical trials have tested intermittent fasting protocols by menstrual cycle phase, outcomes can vary, as hormonal fluctuations affect how easy or difficult it is to maintain fasting at different points in the cycle. During the follicular phase, roughly days 1 to 14 of the menstrual cycle, hormonal changes are associated with better insulin sensitivity, lower hunger, and greater fat breakdown. Women also tend to eat less during this phase, which can make longer or stricter fasts more tolerable. In the days leading up to menstruation, during the luteal phase, the body's metabolic demands increase, often driving stronger hunger and cravings. Fasting during this time may work against the body's needs, which is why shorter or more flexible fasts may be a better option before a period. When you hit a wall. Most weight loss in the first 3 to 6 months of a dietary intervention, said Lynn. After those first few months, many people eventually hit a plateau as the body adapts to a sustained calorie deficit. Plateauing is the body's adaptive response to a new lifestyle change, Semnani Azad noted. Lynn agreed, weight loss plateauing may be a sign that they have reached a new calorie balance between their energy needs and intake. Adding more movement helps preserve muscle during dieting and may help prevent plateaus. Adding physical activity, especially resistance training, can help create a further energy deficit to re-jumpstart weight loss, Bright said, adding that dieters should also eat adequate protein to help preserve muscle. Bright also suggested planning diet breaks or refeed days, brief, planned increases in calorie intake, often by adding carbohydrates. This approach may help prevent the body's metabolism from slowing down and make hunger easier to manage. He emphasized that these strategies are meant to support long-term adherence and metabolic health, not to hack weight loss. Diet tweaks, such as shortening the eating window or cutting out post-meal snacks, can also help. However, Semnani Azad noted that weight loss is only one part of overall health. Too much weight loss can also be problematic. She advised developing a comprehensive, long-term lifestyle plan with a healthcare provider or dietitian, because the goal isn't just to lose weight, but to build a metabolically flexible body that can sustain those results.